Welcome into another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you? How was your Christmas?
Doing good. Busy. The little one got plenty today. So Merry Christmas to you and yours and everybody out there listening.
Yep, same to you. So anyway, obviously coming off of a very interesting Titans game. Probably in the beginning of the show here, we're going to sound a little bit like Vandy fans, kind of taking a moral victory. But, you know, it was – I was fully expecting the Titans to get blown out of the building. And then, you know, the first drive the Rams put together, and then the Titans get the ball. Marcus Mariota makes one of the worst throws I've ever seen him make, and he's made some really bad throws this year, and that one might have been the worst. You know, so at that point, you're like, well, great, the route's going to be on. But Titans, you know, they hung tough. Obviously, Todd Gurley torched them. But they did a pretty good job on the rest of the Rams' offensive attack, the defense that was down Logan Ryan, down LaShawn Sims. You know, I thought the secondary held up pretty well, so was kind of surprised to see that. So, you know, obviously the losses are not good, but again, you know, a game we talked about all week, they ended up being, I think, a 7-point underdog, the Titans were, when the game was actually played, opened at 6.5, moved up to 7. To lose by 4 in a game where you missed a field goal that Ryan Suckup usually makes, you had a goal-to-go situation at the 1 where you only ended up getting a field goal. So they left a lot of stuff on the field, an onside kick we'll talk about in a minute that the Titans probably should have got, or that they recovered, but then they, you know, the referee called it off for whatever reason. There's a lot of little stuff that didn't go their way where they really could have won that game.
Yeah, they had their opportunities, and I was quite honestly surprised. The offense just answered the bell time and time again, and that's something we hadn't seen really over the last 2 months, but. They went back to the no-huddle stuff, and it worked. Marcus Mariota settled down after that first just terrible throw. Thought we were in for a long day after we saw that. But after he kind of settled in, it was a really pretty solid day out of him. You saw Corey Davis step up and looked like a legit NFL number one receiver, so maybe the talk of him being a bust will slow down a little bit. But I was pleased. Again, they didn't come up with the win, but still, they had their opportunities there. If they could convert one of those field goals into a touchdown, you know, you get that onside kick that they should have gotten back. If you get that, you just never know. So, defensively, I really thought it was going to be a long, long day. I wasn't sure how the Titans were going to be able to stop them. I thought the secondary held up. Ty Smith was great. Bryce McCain was still awful, and he was the clear weak point. So losing Logan Ryan there was it might have cost him the game, because Cooper Kupp absolutely destroyed McCain all game long, especially on that touchdown. McCain gave him 10 yards of separation on a simple corner out. So I thought the defense did as well as they could. Obviously, this offense ran through Todd Gurley. But Jared Goff really didn't do much damage down the field to those receivers. I mean, outside of the screen game, I thought the Titans played pretty well defensively.
Yeah, and really the story of the game was getting field goals instead of touchdowns in the red zone. And, I mean, obviously that's going to be the case for, you know, most NFL games if you're not able to convert those chances. But Titans made it into the red zone 4 times, kicked 3 field goals, and only got 1 touchdown. So, you know, like you said, if you turn one of those in, it was a little bit frustrating to see the where they had the goal to go at the 1, and then you know, they gave the ball to Derrick Henry, and then you know, got penalties and got backed up. You know, sometimes I wish that Derrick Henry would run to his size. You know, he got the ball and it seemed like he kind of tried to jump into the end zone, and you know, if you're as big as Derrick Henry is, just lower your shoulder and knock the people in front of you into the end zone. Would like to see him do that. I also don't understand, you know, this team is they love to run the ball, they love to hand it off. You know, so they, I mean, in my mind, when you have second and goal to 1, that to me for this team should be 3 Derrick Henry runs. You know, touchdown or turnover on downs, right? I mean, that to me is what this team wants to do, what they're built to do. They give it to Derrick Henry once, he doesn't get in. Try a pass on 3rd and goal. I mean, ended up getting a penalty there. But then, you know, so then they got 1st and goal to 1 again. And then they got a false start, you know, so, and then it kind of backed up from there. Mario got sacked and ended up getting a field goal. But, like, I don't know. To me, I don't really know why you're trying to get fancy and throw a pass at that point. Just give it to Derrick Henry 3 times. Let him have 3 chances at the end zone. He's going to get in on one of them. Again, that kind of seems like what they're built to earn. What they think they're built to do. Now, we've seen at times how it hasn't worked out that way this year. But in that situation, I'd really like to see the big guy get at least 2 cracks and get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry's not a good goal line back. We've talked about this probably before. It takes him – he's at his best when he's at speed, when he's bouncing things out, when he's just – when he's rolling, DBs don't want to get in front of him and tackle him. So when he's enclosed in a tight space, he's not the best, at avoiding those defenders in the hole, at really just lowering his shoulder and pushing through. So it's kind of odd, you know, being that he's 6'3", 200, two, whatever he is, that he can't just bang on in there. So that's kind of strange. And you know, it's interesting now with the DeMarco Murray injury. Jimmy can tell you a little bit more about that. But I'm kind of interested to see how he performs in what should be a total featured role next week against Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's going to be something that we'll be keeping an eye on. You know, DeMarco Murray left the game. Titans called it an LCL injury. I guess they did the field test, and that's kind of what they decided. When I was reading, there's a doctor that writes posts for a San Diego paper, and he said it looked more like MCL, ACL to him. Marco was scheduled to get an MRI. They said today. I don't know if they didn't do it today because it was Christmas or whatever. Or, you know, Mularkey didn't have a press conference today with it being Christmas. So we'll find a little bit more about that as the week goes along. But I don't see any way he's going to play. You know, and this is a conversation that we will have after the season's over, but that might have been the last we see of DeMarco Murray as a Titan. We'll have to kind of see how that plays out. But, you expect Derrick Henry to be the guy now that's going to get the 20-plus carries. You know, like you said, it's weird that he doesn't run to his size. I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't know why. But, yeah, you see a lot of times where he looks like he thinks he's a little scat back. When, you know, it seems like you just lower your shoulder and run over him. I mean, you see him do that once he gets down the field a little bit, but I don't know, around the line of scrimmage, he doesn't do it as much. So, we'll see how that changes. And we know that he's a guy that gets stronger as he gets more carries and you know, just hadn't, whatever reason, it hasn't played out that way this year. It seemed like at one point, kind of towards the middle of the season, they almost went to an even split. And you even had a game or two where Henry got more carries than Murray. But the last month, they've been back to DeMarco being the feature guy and Derrick Henry kind of being a change-up's not the right word, but, I mean, the guy that gets every third series or whatever. And, you know, obviously it hasn't worked out well. DeMarco is not putting up numbers. Titans haven't been winning games. So now they're forced to, you know, give Henry a bunch of carries, have him out there on passing downs. We'll see how that goes because your choices, we were talking about this a little bit before we started the show, but, I mean, you got David Flewellen. So obviously, they trust enough to have out there on the last play of the game, the last offensive play of the game, split out wide, which I don't understand that. But you got him as the backup, and I think we kind of know what he is. He's a fine running back, I guess. You know, not a guy that you really want to give carries to. And then they don't have anything behind that right now. You got Kalfani Muhammad, who was a draft pick this year, but they didn't trust him at all, even in the preseason. He's been on the practice squad. I guess they'll call him up. I don't know who's available, but they're going to have to get somebody else on the roster, whether it's Muhammad or whether they bring in a guy from the outside.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them kind of poach someone from a practice squad. It's hard to sit out here and figure out what they're going to do. If they sign anyone, you're probably, you know, you might not have even heard of the guy. So, when it goes to Muhammad, they didn't even trust the guy in preseason. So I'm not sure that's such a slam dunk, just thinking that they're going to bring that guy up for the biggest game of the season. So I think they'll go elsewhere. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But, yeah, it's interesting with Derrick Henry because now you're going to have to use him in passing downs. So that's something we haven't really seen really all season. DeMarco Murray's been in that role. I don't know what to expect out of Fluell, and maybe they view him as a pass catcher. They clearly thought enough of him to have him out on the field that last play. So I don't know. It's a giant unknown going into the biggest game of the year. But you know, I think this just kind of sets up to lean more on Marcus's shoulders. I think you've seen them have success with this no huddle look. So I'm not sure it's all that big of a deal. And look, we've been clamoring for more Derrick Henry carries. He's just looked like the fresher guy. He's looked like the more effective back overall to me. So maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise. I know Mike Mularkey would never tell you that. He loves DeMarco Murray. He loves being able to trust him. But it's time to see what Derrick Henry can do in an expanded role.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, his hand's forced at this point. He's not going to have a choice. So hopefully we'll get to see Derrick Henry run over Jalen Ramsey again. That's always a treat to watch. So, but anyway, that's where we'll be on that. And we'll learn more about the extent of DeMarco's injury. I don't know if they'll have a press conference tomorrow. They'll be back on the practice field on Wednesday. So we'll obviously be keeping an eye on that. Real quick on the onside kick that was and then wasn't. The NFL gave an explanation today that basically the length of the timeout was miscommunicated to the Rams sideline. The Rams sideline was told that it was a full a TV timeout, basically, but it only ended up being a 60-second timeout, 30-second timeout, whatever it is, the shorter of the two. And so when the Titans were out there, the referee told Ryan Succop that they were good to go. The play clock started to count down. So the Titans, took advantage of the Rams not being out there. But then, obviously, we saw, there was a flag and there was a whistle. And then the guy said the referee came out and said the Rams called timeout. And then you could tell immediately, on the TV broadcast, they showed Sean McVay. He's like, I didn't call timeout. And so there was all that. And then, Walt Anderson comes back and says, well, never mind. They weren't ready yet, so we're going to do it over. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is there, but to me, if one referee says you're ready, if they start the play clock, then the ball's ready to be in play. So obviously the Titans saw something, they took advantage of it, and then the Rams got a bit of a mulligan, I guess you can say, claiming that somebody told them that the timeout was going to be longer. So, it's been one of those years with officiating in the NFL. The Titans have been on the bad end of it a couple of different times. I mean, you can go back to a couple of plays in that Miami game. It's obviously going to be one that haunts us if they don't make the playoffs, where if a couple of different things had gone their way. They asked Mike Mularkey about it after the game, and he basically said, I don't want to talk about it. I think he's gotten in trouble already once this year for criticizing officials in the post-game press conference. I think he kind of wanted to steer clear of that. But it was just whatever the right or wrong there was, it was obvious that the referees just didn't have it together, whether it was one guy or, a miscommunication with the group or whatever. And that's something I really think, beyond just the Titans. If you watch NFL games, you see so much of this. Something that the NFL really needs to address in the offseason is just the quality of the officiating they have on the field.
Yeah, I'm kind of at a loss, honestly, about, we don't even know what a catch is anymore. You saw the Kelvin Benjamin play. That was a touchdown against the Patriots this past Sunday, and they overruled it. So I don't know if they're just overthinking this. The Jesse James play last week against the Patriots, of course. And then you go back to the Dolphins game with the Matt Castle fumble when the ball went forward 10 or 15 yards. So I don't get that. I don't get a lot of things when it comes to NFL officiating. So I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like the onside kick situation. I love the call from Mularkey again. When he called it earlier in the season, I think it was against the Raiders in the opener. I love that call. I love being aggressive. You didn't want to give the ball back to Todd Gurley, who had just absolutely shredded you all day long. So to catch the Rams off guard, I thought it was brilliant. It just didn't go his way. It should have, and the Titans made a good play to recover the football, and they didn't get rewarded for it. So it's going to really hurt if we get to next Sunday and the Titans lose, they don't make the playoffs, because and you're just going to look back on those two horrible calls. At least I will.
Yeah, sure. So all right, so that'll kind of do it for the Rams game. I mean, again, you know, it's weird, but I would say I feel better about this team today than I did after the Arizona game. And we kind of talked about that before we got started here. Which, you know, now that at that point they only lost one, now they lost three in a row. But I don't know. I've seen some strides, especially from the offense, the last couple of weeks, and so maybe that's something they can build on. And again, you know, you're talking about a situation where they still control their own destiny as far as the playoffs go. So coming up, we'll talk a little bit about that, how things will play out on Sunday as far as the playoff picture is concerned. All right, so. You know, we talked a little bit last week about how there was a scenario where the Titans could win out and not make the playoffs. Well, I don't know exactly what changed between now and then as tiebreakers and all that stuff goes. I guess maybe that in that scenario, the Bills would have to be the Patriots. I don't know. But anyway, now you have the Titans at sitting at 8-7, and if they win to get to 9-7, they're in the playoffs. So, you know, I mean, as bad as they played over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, or, you know, most of the season, however you want to look at that, you still sit here after Christmas with the Week 17 game that means something. It's been a really long time since that's been the case. And so, I mean, we'll all take that. And again, there are a lot of people out there clamoring for the Titans to miss the playoffs so that this coaching staff gets fired. I kind of think that's dumb, because I think John Robinson is smart enough to see how things have played out on the field. I think he's smart enough to know that a team that gets 9-7 this year, if they're able to do that and gets in the playoffs, you know, whatever happens from there, they've underachieved in this regular season. You've seen regression in Marcus Mariota. I mean, I think that there's enough of an indictment against this coaching staff that whether or not they end up making the playoffs, I think you can see the deficiencies that are there. Now, whether or not that's enough for a change, I doubt that it is. I don't think at 8-8 you get rid of Malarkey. Maybe they make him get rid of Terry Robiskie. Not sure how much of a difference that'll make. You can go back and listen. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But I think it's dumb to cheer for this team to lose and not make the playoffs because you're hoping that it's going to get the coaching staff fired. With all that being said, the Titans could actually lose on Sunday. And if the Bills and the Chargers lose as well, the Titans will still get in the playoffs at 8-8. So it's kind of wild. You know, we were talking last week about how there was a chance they could win out and not get in, to looking at now where, you know, the game got flexed at 3:25 because they were trying to keep all the games that have playoff implications, I guess, those teams alive as long as possible. And so now you've got the three games, Titans, Jaguars, Bills, Dolphins, Chargers, Raiders, that all will determine that last playoff spot.
Yeah, and just to follow up on your point about wanting this team to miss the playoffs, it's not going to get anything done. Like, I think we're all, anybody with a brain can realize, hey, all right, Malarkey has kind of flipped the script here. Think back 3 years ago where this team was, and think about what he's done. Now, that's not to say that he's the guy. You know, I think we can all agree that we probably feel like he's not the guy. But he's not going to get fired for going 8-8. Did he underachieve this year? Absolutely. But you don't fire a guy for going 8-8. It's going to take a bad season next year for that. So you might as well suck it up and cheer for your team to make the playoffs. I mean, and the outlook on this team, it's so weird. This has been the weirdest Titans season for me. Just because I went from thinking this team was going to be really good to seeing the product on the field, thinking they're really bad. And now we've seen the past 2 weeks against two pretty good teams. The 49ers are good with Jimmy Garoppolo. They've stood up and almost won those games. So I'm kind of back in. And then you've got the Jaguars element to it all. You always want to beat the Jaguars, because if you're on Twitter, and you probably are if you're listening to this, and you see Jag's Twitter, they're pretty hateable as a group. So as a Titans fan, you want to put those guys down. So beating the Jaguars to get into the playoffs, potentially to play the Jaguars again, would be a really fun storyline to watch. And I think this team has gotten better. I think this team has learned a little bit about itself. I think this coaching staff has learned a little bit about itself for the last 2 weeks. So I think they've made some strides, and it's not – the light isn't as dim as I said it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you understated how bad Jags Twitter is.
Yes, I did.
They are, without a question, the worst fan base in the NFL.
I was trying to be nice.
No. They're the worst. They're the worst. They might be the worst fan base of any team playing any sport anywhere. They are the absolute worst. So here's the fun thing, right? So if the Titans get in the playoffs at 9-7, they're probably going to be the sixth seed. So they turn around and play Jacksonville again next week. All right, so we could be looking at another scenario. Those of you who have been, you know, around for this team since the early years, right? In 99, the Titans beat the Jaguars three times. The last game was the AFC Championship game in Jacksonville to get to the Super Bowl. So we could be looking at another scenario where they possibly have that chance again, and that would just, I mean, I cannot tell you how much joy that would bring to my life. If the Titans were able to beat Jacksonville Week 17, beat them in the wild card round of the playoffs, I mean, the Twitter meltdown that would happen would just, I mean, it would be awesome. And I can't wait for it to happen. And the Jaguars, I mean, and their team, I mean, I think that we're getting off track here a little bit, but their team is the same way. Like, you see them fighting on the sidelines, like at the beginning of that San Francisco game. I mean, they're like, you've had multiple players from other teams come out and say, you know, nobody talks much crap at the Jaguars doing all that stuff. And look, their defense is good, obviously. Blake Bortles, for a few weeks there, was playing out of his mind. Now we saw, you know, who Blake Bortles is with three picks against the 49ers this past weekend. But, like, I don't know. It's gonna be fun. And, you know, obviously the range of emotions is going to be either as high or as low as possible, because you're either going to beat them to get in or lose to them, and that would eliminate us. And so their fans are, you know, going to be there one way or the other. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's fun to have meaningful, that's the word I'm looking for there, football to talk about at this point in the season. Like you said, just the change that we've seen in this offense in the last couple of weeks gives you a little bit of hope that, you know, maybe that this team can do something. Maybe they're building on something. And obviously, we don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. But building on something and getting closer to what we thought they could be at the beginning of this year, maybe we can see that next year. And, you know, we talked last week about how, look, you know, the offense looked better, but that's against a really bad 49ers defense. That Rams defense is good. I mean, they're legitimately good. And the offense was able to move the ball against them. Now, obviously, they weren't able to punch in touchdowns as much as you would have liked. But, you know, you saw some things. And when Marcus is out there, when he's calling the plays in the no huddle, I mean, you see him go up to the line. He's pointing guys out. He's telling guys what routes to run. He looks like a different guy. He looks like a guy that's in control and confident. And that's so much different than the guy that we were talking about 2 weeks ago when he looked like he was just lost and broken.
Yeah, and the true test for this no-huddle stuff is coming this week. You're talking about a Jaguars team that probably still has the best defense in the NFL, despite what happened out in San Francisco. So they've got talent everywhere, all three, you know, across the board. I'll be really interested to see if this – no huddle stuff works against the Jags. I'm a little worried about it because, you know, Jacksonville's going to jam you. They're going to get after Mariota. They're going to throw off rhythm. They're going to throw off timing. So it's a tough spot. But at the same time, I think this defense can handle what the Jags are going to throw at them offensively. So if you get bad Blake Bortles, the Jaguars can lose to anyone in the league. And that's what we said all year. The variance with him is super high, and we saw that a little last week with him throwing three picks. But still, that's a team that scored, you know, still managed to score over 30 points. So the Titans are going to have to come out with their A game. I'm not sure they can do it, but I feel a heck of a lot better about it this week than I did 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely, yeah, and we'll get more into that as the week goes along. Terry, anything else for tonight that we need to hit before we get out here?
No, weird week. So I guess we'll get a malarkey presser tomorrow. So we can talk a little bit more about that Rams game and kind of wrap things up tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get some more on that and the injuries and that kind of stuff. And hopefully they can get Logan Ryan back next week. But anyway, so yeah, at least you feel a little bit better about where they are. And again, it's just fun to have meaningful football to talk about. So that'll do it for tonight. I didn't hear this from the beginning. Locked On Titans, please like, rate and review the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can follow us at MutinyMiracles.com, where we write about the Titans. I'm at JMorrisMCM on Twitter. Terry's at TLambertFB, so follow us there. And again, we'll be back tomorrow and talk a little bit about what Mike Mularkey has to say and start to talk a little bit about the Jaguars. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.